Chip and Charge,
der Tennis-Podcast mit Andreas Thies
und Philipp Joubert auf meinsportpodcast.de.
Die French Open stehen vor der Tür. Und das mit ganz großen Fragezeichen. Auf der einen Seite, wie wird es klappen, auf der einen Seite Zuschauer auf die Anlage zu lassen und trotzdem die Sicherheit von allen Spielerinnen und Spielern zu gewährleisten? Paris ist momentan ein Gebiet mit sehr vielen Neuinfektionen, was Corona angeht. Droht vielleicht sogar ein Abbruch? Auf der anderen Seite haben wir die sportlichen Fragen. Titelverteidigerin Ash Barty ist nicht dabei, auch Bianca Andreescu und Naomi Osaka sind nicht dabei. Wer wird den Titel bei den Damen holen? Bei den Herren fragt man sich, ist 2020 das Jahr, in dem Rafael Nadal besiegbar ist auf dem Court Philippe Chatrier? Er kommt mit wenig Matchpraxis ins Turnier. Die Niederlage gegen Diego Schwartzmann in Rom bereitet den Fans ein bisschen Sorgen. Auch ihm? Eurosport wird das Turnier wieder in voller Länge und Breite übertragen. Einer der Experten ist Henri Leconte, ehemaliger Weltklassespieler und Finalist 1988 im Herrenturnier. Ich hatte die Gelegenheit, mit ihm über die kommenden Wochen zu sprechen. Hier das kurze Interview mit ihm. Monsieur Leconte, thank you for your time.
No problem.
You're still popular. I'm from Germany. You're still popular among tennis fans in Germany. So to give these fans an update, what does Henri Leconte actually do in 2020 besides of being a Eurosport expert right now?
I do quite a lot of things. I'm a president of two clubs, one in France, in Paris, about 2,500 members. Just coming back now because since we have the pandemic, unfortunately, everything was closed. So, you know, there's 32 people working at the club. And then I'm also vice president of a club in Luxembourg where I live. So I'm quite busy and I'm also organizing different events for, you know, from tennis and golf and stuff like that. And also in different business than I do in Luxembourg. So I'm quite busy and also have my kids. So, you know, family, business. Still play tennis a little bit, yeah. Racing cars a little bit. So, you know, I'm quite busy. I'm happy.
And you're still playing tennis and right now you're in Strasbourg, am I right?
Yes. I'm in Strasbourg for the tennis.
Okay.
And I'm just here at the office of a friend of mine. And the tennis is doing well. I mean, we are very happy to be there because it's the first tournament since came back, you know, after the pandemic. And also we have some spectators, which is good. Not too many, but enough to have some good tennis.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about the French Open, which will start next week. Rafa Nadal has won the French Open 12 times. He obviously loves the clay, in particular when it's hot and the balls are bouncing high. Something that might not happen to the same extent this year, however, when it's colder outside in September and October. So do you think this might actually be the hardest year yet for him in Paris? I talked to Boris Becker yesterday and he said, well, he needs this match toughness and he needs hotter conditions. How do you think will Rafa Nadal be in Paris?
That would be completely different and complicated this year because it's, as you said, it's in October. The clay would be completely different. It would be cold a little bit. And also that would be the first time then we're going to play indoors. Sometimes because it would rain and we don't know how the clay court will react. We saw that in Halle, for example, for the first few years, they had a little problem with the grass because it was too humid and it was very slippery. And that's why they put it on just, you know, heat, you know, like a Hoover to just make that grass more dry. And also on the other hand, as you can see, Rafa needs a lot of matches, need to play a lot. So he hasn't played a lot. He lost in Rome. So he will come to the French Open with different perspective. I think he will be, of course, very keen and try his best and do everything he can to win the 13 French Open. And also, on the other hand, you have another thing which is completely different for those top guys. Everybody will stay in the same hotel for 2 weeks. And they're not going to have this specialty for them. That will be completely different.
Yeah.
So I think for Rafa, that will be something unique. For sure, it will be ready and it will give his best because to beat Rafa in 5 sets on clay is not easy. But like I said during the US Open, I said, we could have a big surprise.
But
we have still Dominic Thiem be ready if he's not too tired, and then some new players coming up.
But he has to be the top favorite still. after
of
these.
Of course, he's the number one. Yeah. Of course, Rafa is number one. He's the favorite of the French Open. Yeah. Of course.
Let's talk about his rival, Novak Djokovic. He looked like he looked in Rome, like the discussions around his disqualification in New York did not have much of an effect on his game. Do you think that we'll be able to fully get over the whole incident by the time the French Open rolls around? He seems to be in a perfect shape right now.
I think what happened at the US Open, it was unfortunate. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just, and that's the rules. But it's over. I think that's what Novak proved today. Then he's capable to just put that on the other side and play his best tennis and winning the Rome, which make him more special, of course, because he has worked mentally to just put that away. So, of course, is the second favorite at the French Open, and he just deserve it because what he did is just perfect.
Yeah, and it was the perfect tournament for him in Rome, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's a perfect tournament for him to give him confident.
The third guy I want to talk about is the German guy, Alexander Zverev. He had two great Grand Slam results this year, the semifinal in Australia, the final at the US Open. Do you think he is ready for his first Grand Slam title?
He has one more to go. He went semis, final, then he has to win afterwards. Of course, I'm going to bless you again. It's not coming. Yeah, sorry. And I think... for sure, he will learn from what happened at US Open. He did, you know, leaving two sets to love, break. He learned quite a lot. He was very emotional at the end. I think he really deserved to win a Grand Slam now, but he needs to also to change a few things on his game, especially when he's winning. Mm-hmm. He has to keep going, be more aggressive. And he has to work also like he did for, you know, since 2 or 3 years now, mentally, to be stronger and stronger. But he's close. You know, we've been always saying to Alexander Zverev, he will, you know, he was not playing that well during the French Open or during the Grand Slam tournament. But now he just did and proved that he's capable to go to a final. And now he just have one more step to win. But he will be the next one.
Yeah. I have two questions about the women's tournament. Naomi Osaka won't be in Paris. Defending champion Ash Barty has also pulled out. Bianca Andreescu won't be there. So is the tournament wide open again, or do you see a clear favorite here?
You know, in women's tennis, we know that Serena Williams, if she's really on, there will be no problem for her. But still, like I said, you know, the clay court has changed a lot, you know. Maybe we have Pliskova will come and play. Maybe we have Ostapenko. Maybe we have Svitolina. We have some young girls coming up to maybe take the decision to grab the Grand Slam tournament. There's a lot of things happened since we had that pandemic. And unfortunately, then some of the players, like for Ash Barty, she lives in Australia, and for her, it's very complicated to come over.
Yeah.
Now we have Osaka, and she won the US Open and is... she decided to just not playing. That's a big opportunity for the other players, and they have to understand and they have to take it. And I think it's a big opportunity for young girls who will be ready to play and take a new direction.
Yeah.
And I think it's good for the women tennis. We have some new faces coming up.
Yeah, it is. That definitely is. As long as Serena right now is playing there, there will always be that question: will she be able to win that elusive 24th Slam title, or does she put too much pressure on herself? What is your opinion about that?
And the pressure is there. The body is not reacting as you're supposed to, like a few years ago. Mm-hmm. That's why she has a little bit of she felt the pressure. And for her, it's very important that she has to win a lot of matches in two sets. If she goes for three sets, that will be more and more complicated, especially on clay. So we'll see what's going to happen. It depends about also the draw. And but of course, she's favorite. But like I said, in men's, anything could happen, you know. We saw the US Open.
Yeah. One more question I have to ask you about that. Who will win the French Open on the women's and men's side?
Okay, Svitolina in women.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that's a big one. In men's, of course, we can say Rafa, but that could be an opportunity for Okay, I say Rafa.
Okay, Rafa for the 13th time.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Lecon.
To make the biggest story that to do something unusual.
Yeah. Thank you for your time, Mr. Lecon.
Okay, bye.
Das war Henri Lecomte, der sich in Deutschland bei den Tennisfans noch immer größter Beliebtheit erfreut. Er ist der Experte bei Eurosport. Das Turnier fängt am Sonntag an, Eurosport überträgt im TV und auf dem Eurosport-Player, wo ihr Zugriff auf alle Matches habt. Auch Philipp und ich werden uns regelmäßig mit unserem Tour de Jour melden. Freitag wird es die Auslosungsvorschau geben. Ab Sonntag sind wir regelmäßig mit Podcasts am Start. Wenn euch gefällt, was wir machen, freuen wir uns über Rezensionen und Bewertungen auf iTunes. Folgt uns auf Twitter, Facebook und Instagram. Und dann kann ich nur sagen, vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Auf Wiederhören.
Chip and Charge.
Der Tennis-Podcast mit Andreas Thies
und Philipp Joubert. Auf meinsportpodcast.de.